She licked and suckled at his length, her eyes wide. He held her head gently while warm water beat down on the two of them. Her fingers worked beneath her, and he heard her moans around his length. Slowly, she built up a rhythm. Her head bobbed back and forth. Her tongue lapped up every drop it could. He felt her throat coiling around him, and the pressure of her mouth pleasured him. Her eyes stared up at his face, lidded but focused. She watched for every movement he made and adjusted her movements to match. Everything Faye did was to please Nathan. Her fingers moved faster the happier she thought he was, and she moaned harder and longer in response to his groans. Nathan gently pushed her toward his groin. She responded by taking him all the way. Her eyes snapped wide open when he flooded her stomach. When he pulled out of her mouth with a pop, she followed, her tongue lapping up the beads of white that dripped out. "We need to clean up, you know," he chided, trying to pull her upright. She grumbled, but let him pull her up. Then he slid her fingers inside her, and she smiled like an idiot, leaning against him. She bucked and heaved as she climaxed from his attention, her juices pouring down her legs. Once out of the shower, Faye dried the two of them off. She stopped him from grabbing a towel and helping, hissing all the while. Her eyes lingered on his erection, which hadn't wavered. "Is that normal?" she asked. "Consider it part of the package," Nathan said. Evidently, Kadria's magic still worked. He led Faye back to the bed. The exhaustion was setting in, and he collapsed on the bed. Faye gave him a kiss, their tongues entwining repeatedly for several minutes. She moaned and pressed her body against his. Her hand rubbed his cock. "You can't go to sleep yet," she said with a smile. Faye pulled Nathan up. Then she positioned herself on all fours and thrust her ass into the air. Her fingers ensured she was ready, and Nathan smelled her raw arousal in the air. He pressed himself against her entrance. Faye moaned. His hands sank into her ass while her tail brushed against his chest. Then he hilted himself in her. Faye sank her head into the mattress, muffling her sweet moans. Although he waited before moving, Nathan found it unnecessary. Faye bucked her hips against his within moments, begging him to start thrusting. The two fell into a pleasant rhythm. He knew her weak points and preferred speed. She rewarded him by covering his balls and both of their thighs with her juices. The smacking of his body into her ass filled the room as he pushed them both toward climax. Faye screamed first. Her insides tightened around Nathan as she climaxed. She quivered and moaned, her tongue lolling out on the bed. Nathan didn't slow, and she mewled in pleasure. Her insides contracted around him. She wanted to extract everything from him. Moments later, he made her his mate for real. He reached his peak and emptied himself. When he slipped out of her, not a drop escaped. The greedy girl. Her fingers rubbed against her entrance, as if to check that she hadn't lost any of her prize. "More," she mewled, her eyes wide and watery. "In the morning," Nathan gasped out. He was truly exhausted. He collapsed on the bed. Faye ignored him. She straddled him and slipped him inside of her. "You're still so big and hard." It was in this moment that Nathan realized the true purpose of Kadria's magic and the danger it posed to him. If he never grew soft from exhaustion, then his women would never think he was spent. The physical stimulation kept him awake for hours as Faye rode herself to sleep. She was a very happy beastkin. Chapter 28. As Nathan predicted, the Federation didn't lay siege the next day, or even the day after. 3 days after the demonic invasion, the Federation rolled up through Garrick Pass. Innumerable orange banners fluttered in the sky, each bearing the emblem of the Amica Federation. The army destroyed the abandoned checkpoint and defenses at the end of the pass. "There's a lot more of them than I thought there'd be," Anna said. She stood on top of the outer wall, along with Nathan, Vera, and the others. All of them watched the Federation army in camp. Anna shivered and held her arms around her body, rubbing her sides vigorously. The day was overcast, and a chill wind blew from the west. The weather hadn't improved over the past few days. Nathan wondered if it might rain soon. The idea certainly didn't warm the hearts of the besiegers. Nathan removed his jacket and placed it over Anna's shoulders. She shot him a smile. The sight of her huddling beneath his jacket warmed him, which was good, because nothing else was.
"You're going to get a chill," Sen admonished him.
"I'll be fine," he said, "and this isn't that large of an army. I expected more."
"Really? For an attack on Garrick Pass?" Anna asked.
"The Amica Federation is invading the Anfeng Empire. This may be the boonies, but it's still part of one of the greatest nations on Domar." Nathan shook his head. "I don't have the slightest clue what they're up to. I know the Federation has more soldiers than this on its western front. Where's their bastion? I've only spotted 2 champions and maybe a single sorcerer."
"2?" Anna frowned. Faye chimed in. "The one with the onyx, Sunstorm, I think."
Sen nodded at Faye, and Faye continued.
"Plus, there's one with an amethyst. She looked human as well."
"Isn't that bad?" Vera said. "They have 2 monogem champions. You have 1.
"Hey," Sen said. "I can give as good as any champion."
Vera eyed Sen, but said nothing. Nathan ignored the bickering. For her part, Anna took his lead and gestured for him to continue. "If this is all the Federation can spare, then even if they win, they can't hold the fortress." Nathan stuck his thumb over his shoulder and pointed at the keep. "Without a bastion, they can't claim the Binding Stone. Once reinforcements arrive, the Empire will reclaim the pass, and this will have been a colossal waste of time, resources, and champions. To say nothing of the political goodwill between the Empire and Federation." Nathan frowned. He wondered whether that was Leopold's plan right now. The Bastion promised to send reinforcements, but they had yet to arrive. A duo-gem champion could win this battle almost single-handedly, but Leopold hadn't sent one. Was he busy, or waiting to see if Nathan won the battle for him? Because the Empire would win this war no matter what. With the demonic portal suppressed, the danger of the Empire's collapse had passed, and Leopold knew that the Federation had committed heresy in their invasion attempt. He held all the cards.
"I want to say you have a good poker face, Nathan, but you make a much scarier face when you're thinking about the bigger picture," Anna said.
She poked Nathan's cheek. Faye squawked at the sight. "Do I?" he asked.
"Your jaw locks, your eyes go distant, your nostrils flare, and you seem to exude a much more serious and mature atmosphere,"
Anna explained. She smiled lightly.
"It's cute. I like it."
"You promised you wouldn't call me cute again," Nathan said. "In any case, this army is still worrisome, but it doesn't contain any nasty surprises, such as a duo-gem champion or an enemy bastion. They must be busy elsewhere."
"Like Forzel Valley?" Vera asked.
"They'd have to be supremely arrogant and supremely stupid to attack both Garrick Pass and Forzel Valley at the same time," Nathan said.
"Maybe it's your lucky day."
Nathan laughed bitterly. "Maybe. I'd prefer my lucky day to be the day when this army attacks, personally." The Federation erected trebuchets to bombard the walls. The stones they launched shattered on the barrier powered by the Binding Stone. Nathan had set one up a couple of weeks ago, and it projected a dome across the entire fortress, including the exterior ditches. Next, a sorcerer wearing bright orange robes led nearly 100 magic users in battle robes to the front of the encampment. The magic users began glowing. They held their palms in front of them, chanting nonsense. At the front, the sorcerer waved his arms about. Eventually, a pentagon appeared around the sorcerer's body.
"What is that?" Sen asked.
"He's fueling his spell with the power of other magic users," Nathan explained. "Most sorcerers struggle to cast anything above fourth rank spells. I basically exhaust myself with fifth rank spells unless I use the binding stone or a ley line. That's why sorcerers typically use a cairn."
"Why doesn't he use the ley line then? That's what Ifrit is teaching me to tap into."
Nathan raised an eyebrow. "Let's say you're in enemy territory. Your enemy has complete control over all the resources and weapons. You're running low on supplies. You decide to steal one of his weapons. What do you think happens when you try to use it against him?"
"I don't follow,"
Sen said, furrowing her brow. Nathan sighed. "I control the ley line here, Sen. I'm the Bastion. If he taps into the ley line, I make him go pop."
"Oh, shit."
"Yep. This close together, the ley line and binding stone are essentially the same thing. Think of the binding stone as a super cairn, and I own it. It grants me power, but it can run out. But at least I can stop others from using it. Sorcerers can't quite do the same with cairns, although they can set up traps," Nathan explained.
"Wait, so I'm tapping into your energy reserve when I use the ley line here?"
Sen asked. "More or less."
"Isn't that bad?"
Nathan laughed. "Don't take this the wrong way, but the amount of energy I use from the binding stone is orders of magnitude higher than anything you and Faye use. Bastions are horribly inefficient. I can top Faye up 10 times for the price of a single supercharged fourth rank spell. That's why Bastions use champions and possession. We kind of suck at this fighting thing."
"You flooded the portal by yourself," Sen pointed out.
"And nearly collapsed from the effort." He physically pointed at her. "Meanwhile, you wiped out basically every demon at once with a single spell. I took out a fraction of what you did for the same effort. And once you're used to Ifrit's power, you'll be able to dip into my reserves and do it time and time again. But I won't, not to the same degree." Sen nodded. Outside the wall, the Federation sorcerer continued to cast his fifth rank spell. Slowly but surely, he prepared something that would probably destroy the barrier.
Shouldn't we do something?"
Sen asked. She put a hand on the greatsword slung over her shoulder. "Feel free. I thought Faye was going to run in while we talked, but maybe she's napping. Or having her tail fluffed by a guard." Nathan shrugged.
"As if she'll let anybody touch her tail other than you. She nearly bit my hand off this morning when I brushed it in bed."
Sen rolled her eyes.
What rank of spell?"
"You know what rank," Nathan drawled. "Don't even think about sixth rank.
But
if you lose control of it, then you're as likely to take out the fortress as the enemy army. You're still tired from the demonic invasion. Plus, there are 2 champions in the enemy army and an enemy sorcerer. They'll detect your spell and may counter it. Don't waste time on high-rank spells until you're more talented." Nathan bonked her on the head. "Or else you'll end up like this sorcerer is going to." Sen grumbled and cast a supercharged fourth-rank spell. A meteor shot down from the sky within seconds. The sorcerer reacted quickly, dropping his own spell. The magic users behind him weren't as fast. While the Federation sorcerer threw up a glowing barrier, his subordinates stared at him like idiots. Then most of them died, as the meteor hit the ground and turned their formation into a crater. The sorcerer's barrier held, although he looked winded. He dropped to his knees. A handful of magic users remained. They stared at the remains of their comrades, stupefied. Sen flung bolts of fire at the sorcerer. He protected himself with a wall of earth. It shattered after a few hits, and superheated chunks of earth exploded everywhere. The few remaining magic users went down screaming from the shrapnel.
"He got away,"
Sen said, lowering her hands. A tunnel lay where the sorcerer had been. He had dug his way out during the commotion. "The magic users were expendable to him," Nathan said. "We'll need to get him in the battle. I doubt he'll expose himself like that again." Rain fell that night. Nathan kept an eye on the Federation from his office. He had supplies to last a month. If the Federation took too long, then Leopold would arrive and break the siege. Or maybe the Federation would send reinforcements. He didn't know. But he did know that he gained more strength with each passing day. The Binding Stone's power restored itself from the ley lines, and Nathan became a fighting force again. The Federation couldn't starve him out, and they likely knew it. But what he really wanted from this battle was to capture Sunstorm. He didn't know who the Amethyst Monogem was, and he didn't care. She was a champion that he would defeat in order to win this battle. But he would capture Sunstorm. 2 more uneventful days passed. The enemy built ladders in their camp. A large battering ram slowly formed into being, with a huge steel cap waiting nearby. The Federation soldiers had brought it through the pass with them, but were busy harvesting the wood for the frame from the nearby forest. The ditch prevented rams from getting close to the walls, but the main gate had flatland in front of it for obvious reasons. It remained one of the few weak points in the fortress. Eventually, the mud cleared after that single night of rain. The sun beamed down. The Federation army lined up outside the fortress. Ladders, trebuchets, and the enormous steel-capped battering ram menaced from a distance. Nathan stood in a tower on the outer wall. Sen and Fay were next to him. His defenders took up positions across the walls, manning ballistae and mangonels. This was a conventional siege, so their training would be of far more use here. Many of the ladders would reach the walls. The soldiers would fight them off and protect the civilians. Anna holed up in the keep. Kuda and a handful of hoplites protected her. The rest of the hoplites protected the keep. Initially, Nathan had planned to send them out and harass the enemy army as they charged, but he didn't have the numbers, and 2 enemy champions would make short work of his summons. Instead, he wanted a defensive force for the keep. Sunstorm might try to sneak in and assassinate Anna, or try something related to the Binding Stone or portal. As a precaution, Nathan had sealed the gate to the portal with an additional spell. The entrance to the lower levels had been sealed as well. Only he, Fay, and Sen could get down there now. Not even the summons had access, as he worried that Sunstorm would just carry one down there by force. Rocks crashed into the barrier. Nathan's thoughts returned to the battlefield. The Federation soldiers jeered from a distance. Minutes passed. Rock after useless rock exploded on the barrier. "Fay, would you join Vera on the walls?" Nathan said.
"Eh? Why?" she asked.
"There's 2 enemy champions. There's a good chance they'll try to pick us off one by one," he explained. "It's better if we're in pairs. You can hold them back long enough if they both attack Vera, at least until me and Sen arrive."
Fay smiled and gave an enthusiastic nod. "Of course, I'll be off then."
She darted in and gave him a kiss on the cheek, then leaped out of the tower. Sen grumbled at the show of affection.
"You let her get away with so much."
"You can do the same, you know." Nathan tugged at his gloves. Nothing much was happening yet, so he kept himself entertained with small talk.
"I'm beginning to realize I have to," Sen said. "She may as well not even have her own bedroom, given she spends every night in yours. Does she even use her own clothes?"
"Her uniform," Nathan offered.
"Sure, but other than that? She steals your worn clothes to wear when off duty and to sleep in," Sen grumbled.
"You seem upset."
"Not really."
Sen crossed her arms.
"Maybe a little. We sparred last night to see who got to wake you up each morning. I lost every round, and she took pity on me and let me share anyway."
Nathan ran a hand over his face to hide his grin. That wasn't smart.
I know that now, Sen grumbled. She's so damn fast, and those flames of hers consume my magic. They're so unfair. What kind of monogem ability are they?
The sort that lasts about 5 to 10 minutes under heavy use, Nathan explained. Sen blinked. Fae's ability is more of a bodyguard ability, Nathan said. If she's away from me for too long, she'll become less useful. Most champions have abilities that are less power-hungry, so they can operate away from their bastion or a binding stone for long periods of time.
So there's a trade-off to some gem abilities, Sen said.
There's a trade-off to everything a champion gets from a gem. Fae has a powerful gem ability, but she's weaker than most monogem champions when not actively using it. And an amethyst or diamond champion can fight several battles without needing to refill their gem. In truth, Nathan had misgivings about Fae Sapphire, but he had told himself not to worry about who she had been in his timeline, so he let things go. He told himself that he could adjust her sapphire if necessary. She was going to become a tri-gem champion, so there was plenty of room to tweak her future abilities to make her well-rounded. Shouts rippled along the walls. Nathan looked down to see the mangonels and ballisti begin firing. The Federation soldiers crossed the field. They pushed large wooden shields in front of them, and the frames were mounted on wheels. These were known as mantlets. Behind them came the ram and companies of soldiers carrying ladders. Nathan scratched his chin. It all seemed like a lot of work for the Federation to put in.
Sen, light them up, he ordered.
Seems a bit mean, doesn't it? She said, but raised her arms anyway.
Last time I checked, they're invading us. They didn't even pay the toll.
Rude, Sen chirped.
A pair of squares hovered in front of her palms. This was why Nathan didn't worry too much about the siege weapons. In a battle between champions and bastions, a conventional army didn't matter. Sen's spells would light the field ablaze. Some ladders would make it to the walls, probably because of the interference of the Federation sorcerer, but not enough to let the Federation's numerical advantage matter. Nathan felt something in the corner of the tower. He spun and spotted the ball of shadow.
Down!
He yelled. He tackled Sen. Sunstorm burst into the room. Her eyes screamed murder at Nathan. She looked around wildly, searching for something. Or someone.
She's not here, she muttered,
her gaze fixed on Nathan, who stood back up.
You'll do, Sunstorm said.
She pointed her sword at him.
It won't matter if Lilac gets the cat girl's head if I can give yours to Master Fias.
Chapter 29. You seem angry. Any particular reason? Nathan asked the woman trying to decapitate him. Sunstorm growled at him. Her eyes flickered around the tower as she assessed her surroundings. I see you replaced your uniform. A shame. You looked better without it, Nathan said. He shifted his sword across his body.
Do you think that you can give yourself an advantage with words? Sunstorm retorted.
She twirled her swords. Sen remained behind Nathan. The ladder to the lower level of the tower was in the center, and they needed to get past Sunstorm to use it. Not that they would. Climbing down a ladder with a bloodthirsty champion trying to murder him was a terrible idea. Nathan struggled to imagine dumber ways to die right now. You're an assassin, aren't you? Nathan asked. Sunstorm blinked.
What makes you think that?
Onyx gems aren't used by front-line fighters. Teleportation, shadow doubles, the ability to hide in shadow, to create shadows. Your gem ability is flexible and screams assassin, especially because none of it helps you hit harder. Nathan kept a close eye on the corners of the tower, but saw no shadows. You're good with your swords, but that's about it. So what else could you be? Sunstorm's hazel eyes bore into him.
You seem to know a lot about my abilities, given we've fought twice.
I'm observant, Nathan quipped.
Hopefully she wouldn't look too deeply, or assumed he had some other means to know about her abilities. If she escaped again, which was a real possibility given her gem, then she could spread some damaging rumors about him. Evidently. Sunstorm twirled her swords again. She showed no sign of aggression. For whatever reason, she was content to hold the two here. The reason was obvious. If Sunstorm hadn't interrupted Nathan and Sen when she had, then Sen would have ended this assault before it started. Her spells would obliterate the Federation siege engines. Nathan hoped that Vera might be able to do some of the heavy lifting. Unfortunately, he heard an ominous crackling sound in the distance. From experience, he recognized that as the sound of spells countering one another in midair. Evidently, the Federation sorcerer was talented at counterspells. No wonder he had survived Sen's onslaught. Nathan found himself torn. Did he continue to stall and hope that Fay arrived, allowing him to capture Sunstorm easily? Or did he send Sen out to deal with the attackers and try to pin Sunstorm down, hoping that he had enough power in the Binding Stone to weather her assault?
You seem a little overconfident in your abilities if you think you can defeat both of us, Nathan said.
I'd say that you seem a little overconfident in the allegiance of your newfound ally, Sunstorm said.
She nodded her head at Sen. A moment passed. Then another moment. Sunstorm frowned.
Are you serious, Sen? Did you expect me to do something?
Sen asked.
You were supposed to stab him in the back. Why?
Sen sounded genuinely confused. She looked between Nathan and Sunstorm.
We're allies, friends. I promised that I would find you a place in a sorcery school in the Federation.
Sunstorm's face turned red, and she glared at Nathan. Her voice dropped to an inaudible mumble.
Sorry, didn't catch that, Nathan said.
I don't want you to hear it, Sunstorm growled.
I didn't hear it either, Sen said. But I'm pretty sure she's talking about the time I had sex with her.
What? Nathan asked.
Don't say it out loud, Sunstorm screeched.
Sunstorm froze for several moments, then pointed her sword at Nathan. Her breathing deepened, and she bared her teeth.
Look, just stab him, light his body on fire, and we can go back to how things were. He's wide open, Sunstorm said. This will all be over, and I can give you the future that I promised you in the Federation.
Sen's eyebrows shot up.
Yeah, I don't think I'll do that. I'll make a similar offer to you, though. Nathan's a lot more attractive than this Fias guy you talked about.
Sunstorm smirked. No.
Ouch, that was a fast rejection, Nathan said.
He knew he wasn't exactly a model, but was this Fias guy really that attractive? Not that it mattered, he supposed. Nathan glanced over his shoulder. The Federation had breached the walls. The fighting was sporadic, but there was a noticeable number of tan and gray uniforms fighting his soldiers. No sign of Fay yet. He had to assume that meant that this lilac had engaged her.
He's a lot smarter? Sen tried.
I have to give you that one, Sunstorm muttered, but it's not much of a competition. The Federation is still the superior choice, Sen. Didn't you tell me about how the Empire ignored you and your friends? The Federation would have given Derek and everybody else a chance.
Derek's dead, Sen said flatly, and Nathan's different.
Nathan killed Derek, Sunstorm pointed out.
And he's offering me a future far greater than anything you can, anything that your Fias can. You can have the same thing, Sen said.
Sunstorm sighed. She scratched the back of her head with the pommel of one of her swords.
I can only imagine what sweet words you've told her, Sunstorm said. Or perhaps you are more than you seem.
Wow, I expected you to try to stab me, Nathan said.
Sen isn't the first person I've met who seemed unduly impressed with you. A good assassin needs to judge her targets wisely, I'll be sure to mount your head on an appropriately sized board and make it the centerpiece of the room it's in.
Sunstorm twirled her swords again. Stalling over, Nathan assumed. Faye still hadn't appeared. He had to assume that the other Federation champion was keeping her busy. The Federation's choice of tactics surprised him. Splitting up their champions was the opposite of what he would do. Then again, Sunstorm had believed that Sen would help her. A puff of shadow signaled the start of the battle. Nathan spun, triangles shimmering into existence over his hands. He grabbed Sen and pushed her toward the ladder. Above him, Sunstorm appeared, swords arcing toward his head. Nathan's spells fired off, and blades of wind deflected her swords. Nathan thrust upward. Sunstorm narrowly caught his blade between her chest and arm, but she was still falling. Stepping back, Nathan let go of his sword. His hand flashed as he pointed it at the location that Sunstorm would hit the ground. His wind blast blew Sunstorm to literal pieces. Tiny puffs of shadow floated in the air where Sunstorm's shadow decoy had been destroyed. Nathan's sword clanked on the stone floor, bouncing several times. Nathan cursed and nearly bit his tongue off as Sunstorm kicked him square in the jaw. The glint of metal caught his eye, and Nathan snapped his arm up to catch her sword before she took his head off. Flames overtook his vision. They cleared a moment later, leaving a charred Sunstorm staring at Sen in disbelief.
"Don't light me on fire!" Sunstorm shouted. "I feel you misunderstood our conversation," Sen said. "You really prefer him over me?" Sunstorm muttered, her eyes widening.
Nathan saw the moment Sunstorm's heart broke. It wasn't a pretty sight. The assassin's fists tightened around her swords. Nathan worried that the threads of her gloves were going to explode. They looked awfully stretched by how tightly Sunstorm gripped her sword hilts.
"I won't let you kill him. If you won't join him, then I have no choice," Sen said. "This is a war. You chose your side. I chose mine."
Sunstorm grimaced.
"I wish I could be angry. I should be angry. I don't know what you've done to her, Bastion."
"Nathan," he said.
"I know your name," Sunstorm said.
Her eyes bore into his again.
"Do you actually care for her, or is she your puppet, like I suspect she is?"
"Does my answer matter to you? I feel like you've made up your mind." Nathan couldn't deny that Sunstorm's opinion of him hurt. He cared for her, even if she hated him right now.
"Humph, true," Sunstorm grunted out. "In the end, I suppose we can only determine this with swords and magic. If you're half the Bastion you appear to be, then Sen's fate will be in your hands. If you're the lucky charlatan I think you are, then I'll take her back and give her the life she deserves."
Nathan felt that Sunstorm was being a little fatalistic, but that was natural for her. Before Sunstorm moved, Sen hit her with another blast of fire. Sunstorm shouted something about it being unfair, but Nathan didn't care. He grabbed Sen by the waist and leaped from the tower. They soared through the air. Soldiers scurried about on the wall below them. Not all of them wore Empire uniforms. Nathan's body glowed as he pumped magic into his muscles. He crash-landed on top of several Federation soldiers. They screamed as his magically empowered legs shattered their bones. Sen's flames obliterated the rest. A battle raged around them. Thousands of Federation soldiers charged the walls, climbing across ditches and hiding behind the wooden mantlets they brought with them. A familiar crackling sound filled the air. Vera and the Federation sorcerer were still going at it, countering each other's spells, and neither had found an edge. Stones pummeled the Federation soldiers. Arrows and crossbow bolts pierced them. Ballisti pinned them to the ground. A handful of magic users from Anna's private guard unleashed what little firepower they could and lit fires along the front of the walls. Hot oil poured down the ladders, knocking soldiers off and sending them screaming to a painful death below. The oil stuck to the wood, making the climb even more difficult for future climbers as their hands slipped and the oil dripped onto their skin. Immediately after, the defenders threw down hot sand. It burned faces, slipped between armor, and stuck to the oil on the ladders. But the sheer number of ladders was too much. The Federation climbed the walls. The fighting had thickened, and Nathan had dropped right into it. Elsewhere, the ram crept up to the gate. Ear-shattering booms resounded throughout the fortress as its enormous steel cap slammed into the reinforced gate. "Get back here!" Sunstorm screamed from the top of the tower. She vanished into the shadows of the tower. Within moments, she would be down here with them. An arc of blue fire in the distance caught Nathan's attention. Faye fought with another woman, only a few years older than she was. Lilac, Nathan assumed, from the amethyst. Lilac had the same olive skin and dark hair that Sunstorm did. Another champion from the Kurai Peninsula, he realized. The Federation had taken in many people from the Kurai Peninsula after its invasion by demons decades ago. The duel should have been short, in Nathan's opinion. Lilac moved quickly, and her blows were strong. She knocked Faye's scimitar aside with her curved longsword. Nathan had been told by Narime and Sunstorm that it was called a katana. But Lilac couldn't follow through on her blows for one simple reason. Faye's flames would turn her into ash. Pieces of Lilac's lacquered wooden armor bubbled and peeled. Faye hurled flames with every swing and dodged backward rather than press the attack. She knew that Lilac was stronger and faster, but it didn't matter. The difference wasn't enough for Lilac to strike a killing blow. The amethyst champion grit her teeth and swung her sword countless times, scoring scratches and glancing blows. None of them made a difference as her armor peeled away. Then it happened. Faye held back an attack. No flames swept out from her sword as her scimitar swept high above Lilac's head. She darted back and raised her guard, but the damage was done. Lilac glanced behind her and saw the Empire soldiers. They kept their distance from the dueling champions, but were desperately fighting against Federation soldiers. With a grin, Lilac darted into the melee taking place on the wall. Faye followed with a shout. Empire soldiers dropped like flies as Lilac's sword cut them to pieces. Even when Faye caught up, she didn't use her flames. Couldn't use her flames. If she did, she'd burn her comrades to death instantly. Lilac deflected Faye's weakened blows and slashed at her with renewed vigor. Blood streamed from Faye's chest as she took deeper wounds. Lilac retreated every time the Empire soldiers thinned. She knew that her victory depended on being surrounded by human shields. And Faye had to follow, or Lilac would slaughter the defenseless soldiers. Nathan cursed. Lilac had stumbled upon a powerful tactic. Faye didn't yet have the control over her ability or experience to easily defeat Lilac in this situation. Now his defenses crumbled while Faye bled out. "Sen," he snapped.
"On it,"
Sen said, raising her arms and casting a fourth rank spell. Sunstorm appeared behind them. Nathan stepped between her and Sen.
"You don't need to bother," Sunstorm said. "The more Sen focuses on Lilac, the happier I am. I can cut off your head while she's preoccupied."
Sen said, eyes wide.
"Help Faye," Nathan snapped.
Sen blasted off a wall of flames on the wall near Lilac. The amethyst champion froze mid-step, finding herself cut off. A pair of fireballs soon followed, but were deflected by Lilac's katana. Right as Faye closed, Lilac ducked, spun, and leaped at Faye. Faye's eyes widened. She'd left her guard open, not expecting this move from Lilac. Lilac's sword slid straight through Faye's chest. The two champions struggled for a moment, each using their strength enhancements to push against the other on the wall. Sen screamed, raising her arms and about to cast a desperate spell. Nathan slapped her hands down.
"Don't. You'll hurt Faye."
Eyes wide and bloodshot, Faye grabbed Lilac's hands. Lilac grinned in return and refused to let Faye pull the sword out. As an amethyst champion, Lilac had the strength advantage in spades.
"Idiot," Sunstorm muttered. She shook her head. "That duel is already over."
Faye grinned. Lilac blinked in surprise. Then Faye's entire body exploded in blue fire. Several seconds of blistering agony for Lilac passed before she realized she needed to pull her sword free from Faye's chest. She tried, but Faye held her in place. Lilac must have wondered why she couldn't overpower Faye. The truth lay in the blue flames. They consumed magic, and the strength enchantment of her amethyst ran through her body. Her body that was being eaten away by the fire melting her hands. With a vicious headbutt, Faye knocked Lilac to the ground. Both champions vanished below the parapets. Lilac's screams echoed across the battlefield. Every soldier nearby stopped fighting. They stared in horrified fascination. Many witnessed the death of a champion for the first time in their lives. In their minds, they witnessed history. Not long after, Faye rose, alone. The katana slid free from her body. Nathan saw the ashen remains of Lilac's hands blow away into the distance, still holding the sword, even in death. Blood oozed down Faye's uniform and armor from over a dozen gashes. One of her cat ears bled. She looked around, then picked up her scimitar. The Federation soldiers dropped their weapons. Many tried to run and descend the ladders. They shouted to retreat to those still climbing. Within minutes, what had looked like the beginning of a crushing defeat for Nathan turned into a decisive victory. Hundreds of Federation soldiers fled across the field toward their encampment. More ran into the pass, as if already prepared for the loss and didn't want to risk being caught by vengeful champions.
"Care to surrender, Sunstorm?" Nathan offered the Federation champion.
After a long, hard look at Sen, Sunstorm threw down her swords. They clattered noisily on the stone. Nathan blinked.
"Can't say I expected that."
Chapter 30. Squeals and hisses emanated from the keep's infirmary. Faye tensed and her tail stood on end. Her eyes watered as she stared at Nathan, who watched from the door with crossed arms. "The more you move, the more it will hurt," Vera chided. She applied a glowing hand to the wound in Faye's chest. The hole no longer gaped, but the surrounding flesh had swollen. Blood streaked with the water that Vera applied regularly. A large bruise had appeared around it, discoloring Faye's skin and making her naked chest a little less appealing to look at right now.
"I'm a champion," Faye whined.
She hissed as Vera touched her wound and the flesh seared from the magic. Her tail shot bolt upright. Faye continued, her lip quivering.
"Can't I let the magic of the enhancement heal me naturally?"
"That magic is the only reason you're still alive," Nathan said. "You have a punctured lung, a high level of blood loss, and one of your tendons has been slashed."
Faye's jaw dropped. She looked at Vera for confirmation, and the sorceress nodded grimly.
"Normally, I would have given you a very different type of spell and moved on to a patient that I had a chance of saving," Vera said. "I rarely see people complaining when half of their veins have emptied out on the ground and their lung is pulling in more blood than air."
"Oh,"
Faye's voice was nearly inaudible. "Let Vera take care of you, then get some rest. When the adrenaline wears off, the exhaustion will hit you like a battering ram. You'll sleep like a log," Nathan said.
"Will you visit me?" Faye asked.
"I'll try to be here when you wake up," Nathan promised.
Faye's ears twitched happily, and her tail swished a few times. Then Vera continued to cauterize the wound, and Faye returned to whining. As Nathan stepped outside, Vera's voice stopped him.
"Are you sure you can trust her?" she called out.
He looked back in and saw that Vera was busy treating Faye. A rhetorical question, in other words. Standing outside the room was the subject of Vera's question. Sunstorm stood in silence, a shimmering collar around her neck. Her hands and legs were shackled. The restraints prevented her from using her enhancement and gem ability, as there was no way to outright remove the onyx without killing her. Sen stood next to Sunstorm and looked annoyed. Evidently, she had failed to strike up a conversation with her apparent lover. Former lover. Nathan didn't know what to make of the revelation. Sunstorm and Sen had never shown any inclination toward sexual relations toward each other, or even toward other women at all. This was entirely new to him, and it had apparently happened before he had arrived in this world. He was thrown for a loop. Gesturing for them to follow him, he made his way to his office. The sun shined outside. The assault had been relatively brief, and there was plenty of daylight left to clean up. Nathan even had almost all the power from the Binding Stone left to repair what little damage the keep had sustained. By tomorrow, much of this would be a memory. Except the casualties. Unfortunately, the Binding Stone couldn't be used to heal wounds, other than powering his own healing sorcery. Living things were outside his area of expertise. He hadn't understood how Kadria used it to affect his body. "I didn't expect you to surrender, Sunstorm," Nathan said, repeating a comment he had made several times, to no response. "With your ability, you could have escaped in a heartbeat." Several moments passed. Then Sunstorm said, "I want to see for myself what is so impressive about you. Sen has joined you. You turned that catgirl from a greenhorn into a terrifying warrior within weeks. And you terrify the Federation." Nathan's eyebrows shot up, and he stopped in the middle of a staircase. He looked down at Sunstorm. Her face was impassive.
"Terrify them?" he asked.
"You should have been swept aside here," Sunstorm said. "Instead, I was sent to confirm their fears. You turned up in Nair's tower when you could not possibly have had the resources or time to do so, given you were being assaulted by demons. Even your intervention in the ley lines disturbed them, for reasons I don't understand."
"If you were sent here to confirm that I am incredibly dangerous, shouldn't you have retreated then?" Nathan said.
He began walking again.
"Fierce will need a scapegoat for his failures. If he had been wise, he would have accepted the advice to focus his efforts here," Sunstorm said, her voice turning bitter.
"Advice from who?"
Sunstorm didn't answer. Nathan sighed.
"I assume that means he actually did attack Forzel Valley at the same time."
Sen giggled.
"Didn't you say something about how only somebody really dumb and arrogant would do that?"
"Sounds like our Fierce fits the profile."
Nathan looked at Sunstorm.
She smirked and looked away. "I'll take that as a yes," Nathan said. "And that arrogance prevents him from taking advice from those with more experience in warfare. It's an unfortunate problem with many bastions. The power can get to our heads, and because we make the decisions, we forget that our champions often have years or sometimes decades of experience on us. Nathan's original master called it Big Dick Syndrome. Male bastions made up the vast majority of bastions, and they often had sex with their champions. As such, it was common that they thought with their crotch and didn't value the opinions of their women. The original advice that Nathan had received to avoid this had been to avoid having sex with women he wanted to retain as advisors or strategists. That would have worked if said women had respected that advice. Instead, he chose a different path, which was to remember that the Trigem Mystic Fox sharing his bed had been a duo gem champion before he had even been born. It occurred to Nathan that Narime was in the Federation right now.
The fact that the Federation was making these mistakes despite the presence of her wisdom made him realize that many people didn't particularly care about not repeating the mistakes of the past.
You don't talk like a new Bastion, Sunstorm noted.
I have a lot more life experience than your average Bastion, Nathan said. I also note that you didn't say Master Fias this time. Sunstorm grimaced.
If he doesn't have a place for me, then he's useless to me. He's not worthy of the title.
Is that all your loyalty is worth? A trade of your skills for the protection of a superior? Nathan probed.
Fuck you, Sunstorm spat. You don't know me. I trade my talents as a champion and assassin because they have a known value. Every head I hand my master is proof that I am of value to him, and therefore I get food and shelter for another day. But you're some pompous bastion from a noble house. You live off the teat of your beloved empire. If you make a mistake, then somebody will cover up for you.
If I make a mistake, I'll be dead, Nathan said flatly. In case you didn't notice, no reinforcements came to help me, even though you took your sweet time to arrive and assault the fortress. A duo gym champion could have arrived from a nearby fortress any day and swept you all aside. But that didn't happen. Sunstorm shifted uncomfortably.
That doesn't change the fact that I have to prove my worth. You were given it.
Maybe. Or maybe that's because you're letting people like Fias tell you how to behave, Nathan replied.
Don't pretend like you know me, Sunstorm mumbled.
The three of them stepped into Nathan's office. The black door sat at the back. As always, only he saw it. Sen opened her mouth to say something, then looked at Nathan.
Do you want me to help?
Sen asked Nathan.
Help with what? Sunstorm growled.
You'll understand, Sen said gently. Trust me.
She held out a hand. Sunstorm eyed Sen warily. Her guard dropped, and she smiled back at Sen. Their hands entwined, and they pressed their foreheads together. Nathan coughed. The two ignored him, gazing into each other's eyes. I'll talk to Sunstorm alone, Nathan said. It'll be easier this way. Mostly because he didn't know how Sen would react to seeing Kadria again. She didn't remember anything about her encounter with the messenger, but he didn't want to risk her freaking out.
Okay, Sen said.
She stepped away from Sunstorm.
Remember, trust me.
Sunstorm nodded.
Fine, I'll trust you.
She glared at Nathan.
But not you.
I don't think you understand what she's asking you to do, Nathan said wryly. His words passed through Sunstorm's ears to no effect. She leaned toward Sen and held her arms out, her hands still bound. Sen gave Sunstorm a quick hug, but nothing more. Then Sen ducked out of the room. The disappointment on Sunstorm's face was tangible. Nathan felt his own mood falling, just from looking at her. If you behave, then you'll be unbound, and with her in a little while, Nathan said.
You're a little too confident in your ability to persuade me, Sunstorm said.
Nathan led her to the room at the back of the office. He confirmed that it was unlocked. Sometimes he couldn't open it. One time he had opened it, only for it to slam in his face and nearly break his nose. He hadn't seen what Kadria had been doing in her strange void space, but sometimes his curiosity kept him up at night. Sunstorm stared at him as he walked through a wall, at least from her perspective. He tugged her, and she followed. Surprisingly, she didn't gasp when she entered the void. She did stare wide-eyed at the messenger lounging on the bed, however. Kadria was reading a book. A tome, really. Nathan wanted to compare the thickness of the book to Kadria's chest, but that would require Kadria to actually have one. Suffice it to say, the book could be dropped from a great height and kill somebody. The lettering on the front of the book was unfamiliar to Nathan, strangely cursive and clearly in the form of visual shapes. They vaguely reminded him of the characters that Narime wrote in, but we're very different.
I know what that is, Sunstorm said after a lengthy pause, her eyes fixed on Kadria. She looked back at Nathan, who placed a hand on her shoulder. Nathan expected a scream, a shout, or some form of struggling. Instead, Sunstorm frowned and looked around.
Are we inside the Binding Stone? She asked.
This isn't the reaction I expected, Nathan said. You're certainly full of surprises. And no, we're not in the Binding Stone. At least, he didn't think so.
Inside the Binding Stone, Kadria repeated. She cackled, kicking her legs into the air. Her face remained buried in her book.
The theories you people come up with about the Binding Stones and ley lines are always amusing.
Then what is this place, messenger? Sunstorm said, her brow furrowing.
My home away from home, Kadria said.
Her book vanished, and she straightened up. Nathan noticed that her clothing was askew. The moment he thought that, Kadria tidied herself up.
That's not an answer, Sunstorm said.
It's as good an answer as you're going to get. This is my domain, my little playpen. Eventually, it will be ready for a public viewing, but for now, it's only for VIPs and their lovely guests.
Kadria smirked.
Give yourself a clap that Nathan cares enough about you that you get to be invited. Clap, clap, clap.
Kadria clapped her hands in time to her voice. Neither Sunstorm nor Nathan joined in. Sunstorm looked at Nathan.
You care about me?
I do, he said. I know who you are. I even know your true name, Cho.
Sunstorm leaped away from him, or tried to. The shackles around her feet caused her to trip. She nearly slammed into the floor, but the room shrunk in an instant, and Kadria caught her. A moment later, the room returned to normal. Sunstorm and Kadria shot across the room, the assassin held in Kadria's arms.
Let go of me! Sunstorm shrieked.
Kadria tightened her grip around Sunstorm's arms.
I don't know what foul demonic magic the two of you are using, but you won't fool me like you fooled Sen.
Nathan frowned. It's not magic. You told me your true name yourself, Cho.
Stop calling me that! I haven't told a single person my name since I left Kurai. Not since...
Sunstorm choked up and looked away.
Since demons killed your parents in the evacuation, Nathan finished.
She stared at him. Her body slackened.
How? No, why?
I said I care for you. I mean it.
I have no reason to believe you, Sunstorm muttered.
Running a hand through his hair, Nathan wished that he had an easy way to make her believe him. In the end, he had no choice but to rely on Kadria to remind them of who and what he was. Kadria smirked at him when he looked at her.
Care to pay the price and have her remember you?
Remember?
Sunstorm mumbled.
That's right. You once loved him so much that you begged him to do things to you no other man ever will, Kadria said. Or at least a version of you did.
I don't like men, Sunstorm said.
Kadria blinked. She ran a finger along Sunstorm's head. In response, Sunstorm's eyelids fluttered and her pupils dilated.
Huh. What a fun little variation, Kadria mumbled. Well, no matter. Once you have the emotions, trust, and other mumbo-jumbo of your other self, you'll think of Nathan the same way you think of women. Except, you know, he can give you hot, gooey injections.
I'd rather be dead than let a man touch me with his thing, Sunstorm growled.
Let's see if you say that in a minute, Kadria laughed.
Before Sunstorm could respond, Kadria placed a hand on the assassin's jaw. Just as happened to Sen, Sunstorm fell silent, and her body fell slack in Kadria's lap. When Kadria was finished, she pulled her hand away. Sunstorm blinked several times, her gaze fixed on Nathan, and she took a deep breath.
Nathan, she breathed out.
Cho, feeling better? He asked.
A little, she said. Give me a minute to process this.
That's boring, Kadria said.
Where's the emotional reunion? The crying, the kiss?
At least tell me what you think about receiving a fat, gooey injection from Nathan.
Sunstorm glared at Kadria. She looked back at Nathan.
Can I cut her head off, please?
Nathan shrugged.
Does your head grow back, Kadria? You'd make a magnificent prize to impress Leopold with.
Fuck you, Kadria spat, baring her teeth at him.
Make your threats when you have somebody else who can bring back your lovesick puppies.
She certainly took that joke well, Nathan thought.
Nathan coughed. It's good to have you back, Cho.
It's good to be back, even if I appear to have threatened you more times than I care to remember, Sunstorm said with a wince. She rubbed her head. There was something I wanted to tell you. I can't remember what it was.
Strange. I know I could remember it only minutes ago. Kadria grinned, her eyes practically shining in the void. Nathan pinned her with his gaze, and she tried to look innocent.
What did you do? He asked.
Made things more interesting, she said.
You made her forget things?
Only one particular thing. When the time is right, it will come back. But I don't want her spoiling the show, Kadria giggled. Think of this like the spice that producers add to an episode to keep the viewers interested.
Nathan and Sunstorm stared at Kadria in confusion.
The messenger sighed. I suppose you wouldn't understand that analogy. How about this, then? I'm bored. After a while, you get boring if you win all the time. Plus, I want to make sure that you're winning because you're competent. You have so many advantages. Knowledge of the future because I brought you here. My help in bringing your former lovers to your side. Stress relief from chatting with me. Regular cleaning out of your pipes, courtesy of yours truly. The least you can do is use your brain from time to time.
Do you genuinely believe that all of my advantages are due to you? Nathan asked.
Who else would they be due to?
Kadria watched him, eager for him to bite at her bait. He chose not to.
Fine, be that way, Kadria said with a pout.
Then she grinned and threw Sunstorm onto the bed. The assassin shrieked.
Now it's time for my payment.
Kadria crawled on top of Sunstorm. Fingers ran along thighs, and lips kissed skin. Sunstorm moaned under the attention from Kadria. When the assassin spotted Nathan's focus, her face lit up like a tomato, and she futilely fought back against her assailant.
How cute, Kadria mumbled against Sunstorm's neck.
Something entirely different captured Nathan's thoughts. Kadria's bronzed, plump ass wiggled in the air. Her bangles clinked against each other as she moved against Sunstorm, and the translucent silk strips of cloth attached to her hips waved about. But what really drew Nathan's attention was the tiny strip of black cloth that barely covered her entrances. It stuck so tightly to Kadria's body that Nathan didn't need to imagine what lay underneath. Nathan ran a finger along Kadria's rear. She gasped in response, but didn't stop moving. He peeled away the black cloth that Kadria wore as clothing. There was nothing underneath, confirming that Kadria walked around in her underwear. Nathan stroked Kadria's lower body. When she looked back at him, her eyes were glazed over in pleasure. He rubbed her again, causing her honey to drip down between Sunstorm's legs. Her tongue lolled out of her mouth. "You're supposed to do that to her," Kadria muttered, her voice oozing with pleasure. "Do you want me to stop?" Nathan asked. Kadria didn't respond. She laid her head against Sunstorm's chest and stared at him. He continued to pleasure her, while ignoring Sunstorm's plaintive looks for attention. Eventually, Kadria's hips bucked as she reached her climax. Nathan maintained his pace. His hand was slick by the time she collapsed against Sunstorm, and she stared into space. "You seem new to this," Nathan pointed out. Kadria glared at him. Then, without warning, she vanished with a pop. Looking around, Nathan realized this wasn't invisibility. Kadria had teleported away or left through some other means. Clearly, she hadn't appreciated being the one on the receiving end, even if it was clear that she enjoyed the new experience.
"Nathan, my turn," Sunstorm begged.
He grinned and slipped his fingers into her. When he finished, and plenty of white flowed out of Sunstorm onto the bed, Nathan let her cuddle up against him. He suddenly noticed something moving at the foot of the bed. Or someone. He glanced down to see a shimmering shape between Sunstorm's legs. Kadria.
"Enjoying yourself down there?" Nathan asked.
Kadria melted into existence. Her face was a mess of white. She looked up at him, face red. She grinned.
"I couldn't let this amazing stuff go to waste in this silly girl."
Then she buried herself in Sunstorm's crotch again. Nathan's length remained hard, and he somehow knew that Kadria was keen on some gooey injections of her own, if of the oral kind. Chapter 31.
"I feel like we're putting too much faith in someone who tried to kill us yesterday," Vera said.
Sunstorm refused to take the bait and continued pointing to Fort Tobram on the other side of Garrick Pass. Nathan had gathered everybody of importance for a strategy session the day after Sunstorm's awakening. Vera, Anna, Sen, and Faye joined him and Sunstorm in his office. The map of the region sat on the table in the room. A handful of brass markers sat atop the map.
"She's agreed to serve me as a champion. I've already taken ownership of her gem through my binding stone," Nathan said.
"You can do that?" Vera said.
"Only with the champion's permission. A gemmed champion's mind is effectively impenetrable unless they allow the intruder in. If this Bastion Fias had been here, then he could have stopped me. But he wasn't." Nathan shrugged.
"Why does his presence matter?" Anna asked.
She nibbled on some warm cookies that the cooks had provided.
"Champions are protected by the magic of the Binding Stone. Sunstorm chose to lower her mental protection and allow me to transfer her connection to my Binding Stone. But Fias could have overridden that, given he controls the Binding Stone," Nathan explained. "It's the same reason why champions can't use their gem abilities against their bastion, which is the other reason not to worry about Sunstorm. Her gem ability can't harm me."
"What about me?" Vera asked. "What if she does things behind your back?"
"There are ways to stop rogue champions if necessary," Nathan said.
"This is one of those times that you hide behind your oath, isn't it?" Vera accused.
Faye frowned and looked between Vera and Nathan. Sen and Sunstorm looked resigned. They might not have their memories from Nathan's timeline, but they could remember their emotions of the events in it. And they didn't like the idea of a bastion stopping a rogue champion one bit.
Sunstorm spoke up. "I was prepared to die for my failures when fighting for the Federation. Master Nathan has offered me a second chance under him. I will not forsake him. And as an experienced champion, I know what comes from betrayal."
"An experienced champion? Experienced in betrayal, you mean?" Vera commented.
Sunstorm's face remained impassive, but Sen's did not. Nathan placed his hand on her shoulder before she could speak and opened his mouth. Anna beat him to it.
Vera, enough!
Anna? Vera leaned backward and stared at Anna in surprise, blinking rapidly.
Surely you find this suspicious as well. But I am also a devout follower of Omria and understand the value of an oath to her, Anna snapped. Nathan isn't hiding behind his oath. He's respecting it. You should be thankful that he's sharing as much as he is about champions and bastions. Leopold wouldn't waste his breath on us when it comes to this sort of thing. If Nathan's not telling us, then it's probably for damn good reason.
Vera froze, then looked to one side. She covered her mouth for several seconds. Eventually, the sorceress faced Nathan and looked him in the eye. My apologies, Bastion Nathan. Just Nathan, Vera, he corrected. Anna rolled her eyes. Vera's lips turned upward ever so slightly. My apologies, Nathan. I forgot that your oath is a matter of faith, rather than one to the state. Perhaps dealing with Leopold too much blinded me, given his close relationship with the Emperor.
No need to apologize, Nathan said. In the end, my oath is between me and the Watcher Omria. She will be the one who judges me on my faithfulness.
He paused.
And Leopold, I suppose. He can have me executed at the drop of a hat for heresy.
Don't joke about that, Anna muttered.
It's not a joke.
Nathan sighed and rubbed the bridge of his nose.
But we're getting distracted.
Indeed, Sunstorm said. My original point was that the Federation still had considerable resources at Fort Tobrum. This is the staging post used to assault Garrick Pass.
Nathan placed a finger below Sunstorm's. Right here is Vera's tower.
It's not my tower anymore, Vera said sourly.
Sighing, Nathan continued.
Can we assume that there'll be a significant army defending it?
Sunstorm nodded.
And this Seraph, will she be there? Nathan asked.
Sunstorm bit her lip.
I don't know.
She's the brains behind Fias's champions. The Federation assigned Lilac and me to him purely to provide extra strength, but Seraph runs the entire province. Fias only thinks that she works.